Oh, hello, hello, hello. This is WMFO in Redford. My name's Chuck, and I'm filling in this Friday evening, the day after Thanksgiving. I call it Cold Turkey Radio Show. So we're suspending our normal radio programming for the evening, at least for a little while. And it's normally the Rockabilly Show with DJ Easy Ed, but he's not here, and followed by Plastic Sushi by Ed Buchard, but he's not here either. So I'm here for that duration. And we have a special program for you tonight. Yesterday was the 50th National Day of Mourning down in Plymouth. I was down there, and I filed a half-hour special radio report on that event. But after coming out of all this music, I figured we'd lead into it before starting it by playing you a track from a Native American artist called Medicine for the People. And we'll hear a track called My Country here on WMFO in Medford.
We feel that racism and sexism and class separation, that these are desecrations. And we feel that the American flag does not represent integrity, honor, justice, or truth.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of poverty, for thee I weep. Land where my mother cried, land where my father died, sweet land of genocide, pride of my heart. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of industry, we'll break your back.
Myself a patriot, but I don't happen to be a patriot to a flag. I'm a patriot to a land.
Yes, patriot to the land. That was Nico and Medicine for the People with their take on My Country from the Darkest Night album. And before we start this report from National Day of Mourning, I should mention the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants and not necessarily the views of WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University. And here now is the report from yesterday's activities down in Plymouth.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
November 28th, 2019, Plymouth, Massachusetts. This was the 50th time United American Indians of New England and their supporters gathered at Coles Hill across from Plymouth Rock. There was an excitement in the air at such a milestone, and even though it was cold, windy, and wet in the morning, over 1,000 people turned out for the event. I asked Matone Monroe, one of the co-founders of National Day of Mourning, how she felt about this anniversary.
You know, we've been so busy moving forward that it's interesting for us to stop for a minute and look backwards and think about all the history that we've made over 50 years. We're all really excited about that.
Other attendees, like Susan McLucas of Somerville, expressed similar enthusiasm.
It's pretty amazing being out here year after year with the Native Americans who do not celebrate Thanksgiving, as many Americans understand it, and who obviously see this as the beginning of the decimation of so many of their people and pushing them aside. But they're still here, and more people are seeing the wisdom following their lead. It's more of a dark story, but hopefully we can start to make amends.
My name is Sunny Singh. I'm from Philadelphia. I used to live in Boston. I've been coming down to National Day of Mourning since 2011 when I lived up here. For me, I think it's important to come down here and document what's happening because, one, it allows me to recenter who I am and take a step back and listen to what Indigenous people have to say because I feel like they have the answers to a lot of the problems that we're facing in society and the world. And I think it's important to broadcast this signal out so people all over the world who aren't here and don't know about this can get some understanding about what's going on and the perspective that I think that they offer.
I'm Julia, and I'm here because I'm planning to help out with the Holding the Signs.
It's a challenge today in this wind, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, how old are you?
I'm 13.
Have you been to these events before?
Yes.
So, how do you feel about the fact that it's been going on for 50 years?
I think it's really good, and it should be going on forever.
Well, people like you, only 13, you can help make that happen, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing your part.
Thank you.
Unanim James, the other co-founder of United American Indians of New England, kicked off the event, giving a brief history of how the Day of Mourning got started.
50 years ago, my father, on a Kunawampanoag named Wamsutta Frank James, was invited to address a gathering celebrating the 350th anniversary of the arrival of the Pilgrims. When asked by the organizers to provide an advance copy of the speech he planned to deliver, Wamsutta agreed. When they saw his speech, the planters told him he could only speak if he were willing to offer false praise of the Pilgrims. According to the organizers of the event, and I quote, "The theme of the celebration is brotherhood, and anything inflammatory would be out of place." The organizers even offered to write a speech for him. Now, he refused to have words put into his mouth, and National Day of Mourning came into being as a result of that refusal. Instead of speaking at the banquet, he and a group of allies from throughout the Americas gathered here on this hill and observed the first National Day of Mourning in 1970. Now, over the years, we repeatedly disrupted the Pilgrim Progress Parade, a tradition we continued until 1996. The following year, in 1997, we were blocked on Lydon Street and arrested without warning when we simply tried to march. The resulting defense of the Plymouth 25 led to the National Day of Mourning plaque you see over here on Coles Hill and the Metacom plaque we will visit when we march. Consistently, our organization has not collaborated with the Pilgrims or their institutions, whether museums or the Mayflower Society or the Plymouth 400. We have our own story to tell in our own way. So what happened at that first day of mourning or that first Thanksgiving? Or what some of us call the first Thanksgiving? According to popular myth, the Pilgrims, seeking religious freedom, landed on Plymouth Rock. The Indians welcomed them with open arms and then conveniently faded into the background, and everyone lived happily ever after, the end. But here is the truth. First, the Pilgrims are glorified and mythologized because the circumstances of the first permanent English colony in North America, Jamestown, were too ugly to hold up as an effective national myth. These efforts now teach school children about the African slaves kept at Jamestown. But no curriculum seems to want to teach the kids about settler cannibalism. And yet the history books call us savages. Why does any of this matter? It is simple. When people perpetrate the truth of Thanksgiving, they are not only erasing our genocide, but also celebrating it. But we did not simply fade into the background, as the Thanksgiving myth says. We have survived and thrived. We have persevered. The very fact that you are here is proof that we did not vanish. And our very presence frees this land from the lies of the history books and the myth makers. We will remember and honor all of our ancestors in the struggle who went before us. We will speak truth to power, as we have been doing since the first day of mourning in 1970. It has continued for 50 years as a powerful demonstration of indigenous unity and the unity of all people who speak truth to power.
My name is Matoi Monroe, and I'm the co-leader of United American Indians of New England. And I want to greet all of you who've traveled to be with us at the 50th National Day of Mourning. I know some of you had to get up in the middle of the night to travel here. So I want you to take a look around at the amazing crowd you see around you. Like, look at each other and realize how beautiful it is that we're all here together with each other. It's really important for those of us who live here in the U.S. to show our solidarity with others in struggle and to bring public awareness to all Indigenous struggles and all acts of violence against Indigenous peoples, not just the ones occurring in North America. We are all united in our fight against settler colonialism, and we must remember that what happens to one of us happens to all of us. Already, thousands of our kids are in foster care, too. This is one reason why we say the genocide of Indigenous peoples is ongoing, not something that happened in the past. And at the border, at the U.S.-Mexico border, things have grown even worse this past year. More than 70,000 children were detained and caged by the U.S. government this year alone. The U.S. leads the world in child prisoners. Many of us who are native to this country have been outraged by the treatment of our relatives from Mexico, Central America, and South America. It is devastating to see their families torn apart, just as our families have been splintered as a result of cruel government policies. Everyone must remember that no one is illegal on stolen land. And we join migrant communities in saying that we didn't cross the border crossed us. But the immigrant nation that is the United States has a short memory and is in denial of their own historical facts. They're descended from the invaders who forcibly took our lands and resources from us, then denied us the use of our languages and cultures. Once again, we ask the question, who is the illegal alien, pilgrim? One of many ways that people are working to center Indigenous voices is through education and legislation. Here in Massachusetts, we have a Massachusetts Indigenous legislative agenda that is supporting five bills. A bill to ban the use of racist Native mascots in public schools. A bill to redesign the state flag and seal. Legislation to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day statewide instead of Columbus Day. A Native education bill and a bill to protect Native heritage. There's a lot you can do to help us get those bills out of the committees that they're largely stuck in. We will have flyers about this at the social later today. So I'm going to end with a proposal, a starting place for the decolonization of our lands and a way to address climate collapse. First, ensure that no projects can go through any Indigenous nation's land without free, prior, and informed consent. Second, take all of the land that is currently being mismanaged by these settler governments, such as the national parks or the Amazon rainforest, and let indigenous nations manage that land. That would mean the restoration of millions of acres of our lands to us. It would also mean the end of the desecration of our sacred sites, such as the Black Hills and Mauna Kea. Third, cancel the leases, the pipelines, the mining, and the corporate contracts, and start over. Since we all live here on this planet together, and since it's the only planet that we have, we need to support and listen to indigenous people all over the world who are on the front lines of dealing with climate change. I don't want anyone who's listening to this to feel like they should just give up. We can fight for climate justice. We can end settler colonialism. We can reclaim our lands. We are not vanishing. We are not conquered. We are as strong as ever.
Another regular feature of National Day of Mourning is Elder Burt Waters reading the words of Leonard Peltier.
Statement of Leonard Peltier to the 50th National Day of Mourning on November 28, 2019. The day of 2019 is coming to a close, and with it comes the day most Americans set aside as a day of thanksgiving. As I let my mind wander beyond the steel bars and concrete walls, I try to imagine what the people who live outside the prison gates are doing and what they are thinking. Do they ever think of the indigenous people who were forced from their homelands? Do they understand that with every step they take, no matter the direction, that they are walking on stolen land? Can they imagine, even for 1 minute, what it is like to watch the suffering of the women, the children, and the babies? Yes, the sick and elderly, as they were made to keep pushing west in freezing temperatures with little or no food. These were my people, and this was our land. We were appreciative of the gifts from our Creator and remembered to give thanks on a daily basis. With the coming of foreigners to our shores, life as we knew it would change drastically. Individual ownership was foreign to my people. Fences, unheard of back then. We were a communal people, and we took care of each other. We also remember our brothers and sisters in Bolivia who are rioting in support of the first indigenous president, Evo Morales. His commitment to the people, the land, their resources, and protection against corruption is commendable. We recognize and identify with that struggle so well. So today, I thank all the people who are willing to have an open mind, those who are willing to accept the responsibility of planning for 7 generations ahead, those who remember the sacrifices made by our ancestors so we can continue to speak our own language, practice our own way of thankfulness in our own skin, and that we always acknowledge and respect the indigenous lineage that we carry. I want to thank all who are kind enough to remember me and my family in your thoughts and prayers. Thank you for continuing to support and believe in me. There isn't a minute in any day that passes without me hoping that this will be the day I will be granted freedom. I long for the day when I can smell clean, fresh air, when I can feel a gentle breeze in my hair, witness the clouds as their movement hides the sun, and when the moon shines, the light on the path of the sacred Inipi. That would truly be a day I could call a day of thanksgiving. My spirit is there with you, Daksha, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Peer.
Uli Basque, Dalamisi, Indaluizi, June Sapiel, Manawabskek Nation. My name is June Sapiel. I'm from Penobscot Nation, and thank you from the Dawn Land for being here. I'd like to say a little prayer that my uncle used to say at Deer Island, Uncle Sammy. O Creator, Great Spirit of all, please bless the waters, the land, and the sacred grounds that we stand on. That was something that my uncle would start as a prayer. And to finish off, I would just like to say, Kachiwiliwani, thank you for being here and standing in solidarity and truth, for walking in a good way with us, and for continuing this message forever. And for our healing to begin and to continue, we need to keep standing in this truth and in the solidarity. Wiliwani Kachinawis, our Creator, and let us walk in a good way today. Mazita Dulumimik, all my relations.
Juan Gonzalez is a Mayan native and has made the journey to Plymouth almost every year.
I'm living in the jungle in the south of Mexico, and it's hot and humid, so I'm freezing today right here. But I'm here with a message from the Council of Maya Elders. Compañeros, compañeras, greetings from the people of the Jaguar House. Today, November 28, we are here. We ignited the copal and rises the smoke. Our ancestors knew that our planet will be rot. They told us the danger that when our Mother Earth is being desecrated, our future will fade and the liveliness of the world will be abhorred. Rains and the sun behave out of balance today. Air, water, land, humans, creatures are sick. Our world is sick. The paradigm of modernity, democracy, globalization, high technology, the American dream are killing our Mother Earth. Ignorance of themselves is the most powerful weapon of the neo-colonizers, politicians, corporations, and as long as the millions of people continue to consume what television tells them, our world is guaranteed to die. Our world will die because greed keeps exploiting it. We keep consuming. We keep the genocidal way of life. Greed cannot be defeated voting new politicians. Big shifts are about to happen. Shifts that we don't even think today about it. What we believe today could be impossible to happen will happen. One sure thing is that in that shift that is coming, indigenous people will have much to contribute. In the past, that can save the future of humanity. The future of this continent is on Native people. Oh, thank you.
We have a whole crew of people who have come here from the North American Megadam Resistance Alliance. We have, four of them are Cree from so-called Manitoba, Tommy Manias, Rita Manias, Carlton Richards, and Noretta Miswagon. And they're going to be talking to us about what is happening to communities that get flooded by these hydro megadam projects. Come on over.
Dancy. Bibitika mai ni no hotel boat utian kada tagas ni gatsi gatik hotel boat utiak homo chikan skip ni ga yak Hello. I am here to come and tell the truth of what's going on in so-called Canada, where mega dams are flooding our indigenous lands, and they're bullying us to submit their progress. In our lands, they're being flooded. Our people are poor. Our animals are dying. Our rivers are dying. That is one form of a cultural genocide where we have to live within their rules. This is the message we bring to the United States, of so-called United States. This is our country. And we have to keep believing that it always be our country for the rest of our lives. Our children, their grandchildren, and their grandchildren will always know this is our country, and we need to tell the world that this is our country. We always tell the truth. We are indigenous people, and this is indigenous land. This is our country. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Rita Munoz. I'm from Pimichikamak, a community in Cross Lake, northern Manitoba, in Canada. Our lives have been turned upside down by hydro developments, and they come under the corporations who destroy our lives, turn the river system upside down, reverse, and has taking our culture away in that manner. Our economy is gone, and so is the water and land are destroyed by this hydro development. So we're here in Plymouth in solidarity with the people, with the indigenous people of the United States and of Canada Lake, in solidarity, because we live in Turtle Island. You could say solidarity.
So we're going to have Ida Aronson from the Huma. She's bringing a little posse up with her too, I think, to hold the banner.
We're already in an extinction event. Maybe let's do something about that. The fact is, the land is changing. The climate is changing. We cannot replace what has already been lost, but we can and do try to preserve what is left, whether that be the land, our culture and traditions, or even just the memories of what was. We bring this knowledge forward with us into the future. We've also got some great research opportunities going on, like technologically mapping our elders' traditional ecological knowledge and helping bring that knowledge to a higher acceptance in academia, because, you know, white people don't just trust us, or academia. We have a new alliance that we hope will aid in our efforts for federal recognition, because we're only state recognized. That's something that's definitely held us down. We are on oil lands. But that's only gotten even harder because Trump has added even more requirements to try to make it any sort of significant sovereignty or federal aid harder for us to get. We were too Indian to go to white schools up until the mid-60s, but now we're not Indian enough to be federally recognized. Yeah, okay. We have powwows and festivals for our people, and we laissez le bon temps rouler. We let the good times roll. We celebrate life, and we adapt, and we will survive.
So we're going to have Ida Aronson from the Huma. She's bringing a little posse up with her too, I think, to hold the banner.
We're already in an extinction event. Maybe let's do something about that. The fact is, the land is changing. The climate is changing. We cannot replace what has already been lost, but we can and do try to preserve what is left, whether that be the land, our culture and traditions, or even just the memories of what was. We bring this knowledge forward with us into the future. We've also got some great research opportunities going on, like technologically mapping our elders' traditional ecological knowledge and helping bring that knowledge to a higher acceptance in academia, because, you know, white people don't just trust us, or academia. We have a new alliance that we hope will aid in our efforts for federal recognition, because we're only state recognized. That's something that's definitely held us down. We are on oil lands. But that's only gotten even harder because Trump has added even more requirements to try to make any sort of significant sovereignty or federal aid harder for us to get. We were too Indian to go to white schools up until the mid-60s, but now we're not Indian enough to be federally recognized. Yeah, okay. We have powwows and festivals for our people, and we laissez le bon temps rouler. We let the good times roll. We celebrate life, and we adapt, and we will survive.
Also addressing the gathering with concerns of climate change at National Day of Mourning, Vanessa Enaro, a feisty Native woman from Puerto Rico.
And to our relatives here of other nations and other skin colors, because I don't like to use this, just white. We're technicolor, man. We're rainbow people. We are beautiful, right? You know? Stand and fight as well. We also have to worry about climate change. They're abusing this earth to the point where there might not be any earth left. Does anybody have another planet to go to? So, I'm going to leave you with that. Stand strong. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm from the Boyo Atabe. This is a woman's group. The Boyo Atabe means house of Mother Earth. We stand strong as women, fighting for our human rights and for the human rights of everybody, okay? So I wanted them to show the banner, okay? And I want to hear a real loud, and fist in the air, and feel it in your heart, and stomp on the ground. Fight back! Fight back! Fight back! Fight back! And we will not be stopped! We will win! And Hankato! Stand strong, mi gente! Stand strong!
After the speeches, the 1,000-plus attendees began to march through the streets of Plymouth. I spoke to activist Nkumba, who makes a trip down from Boston every year. He told me why he does.
It's an honor to be here, and it's just so important for us to understand what the experience of the indigenous people have been here on Turtle Island, and specifically here in the Pilgrim area and the land of the Wampanoag, you know, the land of the first light, the first dawn. It's really important for settlers and other people, African people who have been brought here, to understand the struggle of indigenous people so that we can understand how to move forward in the right way, in a good way, toward liberation, toward freedom, toward justice for everybody.
My name is Ollie. Sonder. I'm an organizer with the Trans Asylum Seeker Support Network in Western Massachusetts.
50th anniversary of Day of Mourning. Have you been here before?
I have. This is my second time.
Okay, so what are your impressions of the struggle here?
There are people from all over New England coming together. It's a multiracial, multi-generational event. People are waking up to the fact that for each of our own individual liberations, we have to fight for indigenous liberation, for indigenous sovereignty, land relinquishing, for the abolition of the United States of America, and to make America Turtle Island again.
Yeah, your sign says make America Turtle Island again and make Israel Palestine again.
That's
a great dual concept.
Yes.
Okay. National Day of Mourning is an annual event on the observance of Thanksgiving. For more information about it and the sponsoring organization, the United American Indians of New England, visit their website, uaine.org. That's uaine.org. And for information about the 5 legislations pending in the Massachusetts State House, visit maindigenousagenda.org. Reporting from the streets of Plymouth, I am Chuck Rosina. Thanks for listening.
Gather around a table laid bare. Turkeys were gone. don't care for the day of mourning, new era warning. Many are forlorning on the day of mourning. Day of mourning, new era warning. Many are forlorning on the day of mourning.
Split the wood, strip the bark for teepee poles, stir the soup and feed the pigs. That's how you keep from the cold. There's razor wire and a concrete fence, surveillance planes and drones, compound lighting on the ridge, a cold as old as buffalo. This water is a wall. Can they even hear the truth?
skies as shelters built, yurts and borrowed army tents, against rubber bullets, concussion grenades, and a stockholder president. Water can shoot dirty tricks clean across a sacred lake, but oil leaks and concrete cracks, even promises will break. This water is a wall. Can they even hear the truth that makes the mighty still standing dry, when the sharp-skinned hawk has left her nest, when the black snake is dead and gone, when we've long laid our heads to rest, when the children ask you years from now, when they're learning how to sing along, when the cameras left and the signs came down, which side of the water were you?
Tanto give me wow, Hanico Rane Yanane no, which you tanto give me wow, Hanico Rane Yanane no way. Which you tanto give me wow, Hanico Rane Yanane no, which you tanto give me wow, Hanico Rane, Hanico Rane, Hanico Rane, which you tanto give me wow, Hanico Rane Yanane.
Friends and other radio listeners. This is WMFO in Medford. I'm Chuck. Reviving a semi-old tradition of the cold turkey radio thing, in which I drag out of the woodwork old WMFO DJs and we come down here and spin for a long time. Well, we're only spinning for a total of 4 hours, and a half hour was taken up by my radio documentary, so that made it 3.5 hours. And of all the old MFO DJs, our longtime standard favorite, Mr. Michael Bloom, rose to the occasion. And he's over here on Oh, mic three? That looks like mic four. Mic four for seven. Now you should be there.
Check one.
There
yep.
You are.
Okay. Hi there.
And there goes all my bed music too.
Yes.
So yeah.
Much of this rig has changed since I was doing my DJing.
yes, indeed. Faders can change actual functions, and we had mic three on that fader instead of mic four, and you were sitting at mic four, so I switched that live on the air, and that was Jim Pepper's Wichita Toe. Popular Native American song, and he was the original composer of it, though Michael pointed out that Brewer and Shipley did it, and we think that Dr. John did it too. But we had the original composer, Jim Pepper, doing it there. Amy Spies from her current album, Me and the Ghost of Charlemagne. Charlemagne. Where did you go? Oh, you're over here. She did a thing called Standing Rock, Standing Here. Tully Kupferberg did America from the Fast Forward compilation in 1991. Amy DiNaio did Thanksgiving, which was her tribute to the National Day of Mourning from her 2017 album, The Big Embrace. And before that, we heard the lengthy report on yesterday's 50th National Day of Mourning as a public service from us here at WMFO to you out there, the radio listener. So we're supposed to do like an hour of Native American and 6:56, so we're a little bit short on that, but fuck to work. It's my own show and I can do what I want. That's one of the advantages of WMFO. So we'll turn now to the introduction of sorts to the cold turkey radio thing, if you will, here at WMFO in Medford.
Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on.
Oh, the rock.